The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Shutter Sport Girl Talk, your home for all things women's sports. We've got everything from athletes breaking barriers to industry professionals breaking the glass ceiling. I'm your host, Katie LeBoudler, and today I'm joined by Emily Bancroft.
Okay.
All right, so Emily, let's just dive right into kind of how you got into sports, you know, what fired that passion.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I think it started because my parents are, like, so crazy about sports. They always have been. They both played a ton growing up, and that was, like, their focus. Like, I wasn't put into piano lessons or anything like that. Like, it was, like, all we did was my brother and I played sports. I got to try all of them when I was younger, which was great. Soccer was kind of the main one. I played really competitive soccer, Division I, all the way up until grade 12. But I wasn't really that good at it. Like, I played it. And I played a high level, but, like, that wasn't really my thing. And then when I was in grade 4, that was when my parents switched over and they were like, okay, this girl has some, like, basic muscle competency skills. Let's put her into something that's a little more challenging for her. And that's when I started playing softball. And I really quickly clicked with that. I was really good at it. And here we are now. I'm playing university softball. So it's been really fun.
Yeah. And then from kind of, like, what you were feeling, when did you decide that, like, softball was kind of the one you were going to pursue?
I think that, like, when someone tells you that you're good at it, like, that's, like, when you start to feel like this is something that I can do. So I was told that I was really good at it, and then I was like, oh, I am.
I mean, if you insist.
I was like, okay. You know, this 9-year-old with, like, a big ego wants to just feed into that. So I just started doing that. I was always super competitive by nature. I've had a lot of guy friends growing up, and lots of them, they played really high-level hockey. So I always wanted to, like, compete with them and be at their same athletic level, but in my own respective realm. So I was like, well, if I'm good at softball, I'm going to stick to that, and I'm going to be as good as I can at my own sport in that way. And that was what really fueled me, I think, was I wanted to be as good as I could be, and I wanted to be as good as them, but in something that I could do. Yeah. So, you know, if boys are, like, my motivation.
I mean, if it works, it works.
Yeah, yeah. So, shout out to my grade 5 crush for really fueling this
crazy
drive.
Grade 5 crush just, like, changed the course of your entire life,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, because, I mean, it did change the course of your life because you said you're playing university sports, and that's partly what led you here, but I know it was that and kind of the program, because you're obviously in sport media, one of the best programs in the country.
Absolutely.
If I don't, on my unbiased opinion. But, like, kind of between the two, what led you to TMU?
Yeah, it was definitely a mix of the both. Like you said, like, we have a very similar journey to getting here. And if we didn't have a softball program at TMU, I don't know how likely I would have been to have actually picked the program. A lot of it, I was supposed to go into journalism as opposed to sport media, but then my mom said that if I was going to move across the country, I had to do something cooler than journalism. And she literally changed my application for me. So shout out to my mom. but I'm so glad that she did, and she knew more about this program than I did at the point. Like, she looked into it and she was like, this is such a great opportunity and it's all the things that you want and you just don't know enough about it. So I'm glad that she did that. And I wanted to play university ball. Like, that's what I wanted to do. So that was the best of both worlds, were here at TMU, and I wanted to live in a big city, but I didn't want to be in Vancouver because I don't love that city as much, and I grew up around there. So as opposed to, like, a school that I was also looking at was Mount Royal in Calgary, where they had a great media and communications program, but they didn't have a softball program. So I didn't even end up applying because I knew that they didn't have what I wanted. So that, like, the fact that there was softball here is a huge draw, and I'm so glad that I'm able to do what I want.
That's funny, because I looked at UBC for media studies.
Okay, yeah.
And because they have a really good softball program that plays in the States, and I was, like, literally, like, emailing their coach at one point, and then he stepped down, and I was like, hey, whatever.
Yeah.
But it was my dad, too. Like, I was reading him. I kind of talked about this on another podcast, so I won't say it long, but, like, I was, like, reading him the courses and stuff, and he was like, oh, you sound the most excited. Go there.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, if you insist. Like, but, yeah, no, I love being in the city.
Yeah,
This program, too, like, it's just so fun. And we'll talk a bit about kind of how you got settled kind of after that big move. But, like, I know, like, the program and the softball team definitely helped with that.
Yeah, that was, like, the huge thing is, like, coming in. And the softball season being the first,
right away.
Yeah, it's right away. So, like, you move in, and then I had softball the next day.
Yeah, like, so, I didn't go to Frosh. I went to softball tryouts.
Yeah. So, it's like, okay, here, there's my friends. And the year that I joined, there was six of us total, first years.
Okay.
So, we had, like, a pretty big class, and we all clicked right away. All of us are still on the team now as third years, and then we have, like, another one, Brianna joined as well, so now there's seven of us that make up the junior class, which is awesome. We're all super close, and I
it's
think
awesome until really you all helped. Leave next year.
I know. It's so sad to think about, because that's, like, half our team.
Yeah. That's scary to think about.
But it made it great for me. It made it super easy for me to make friends. Like, there, I went on vacation with one girl. Like, we're so close. And having that friendship right off the bat with those girls is so important to have. I value my female friendship so closely. And being...
Because you don't have to compete with them like the boys.
Yes! Oh, my gosh. Oh, screw the men.
Full circle.
Yeah. No, truly. And it's so nice. Like, when you play sports your whole life, like, you get to know female dynamics mm-hmm. and friendships and, like, how much you rely on your teammates for everything. So, like, you can, like, go into all the metaphors and all the teamwork and all that. But, like, ultimately, like, it's just great to, like, have your girls all the time. We see them every single day. We're on the road, so it's great. It's
and
super nice.
Even in the off season, it's like seeing a campus celebrity when I'm like, oh my god, someone from the softball team. Yay! Like, yeah.
No, even I love that. Like, yeah. We have our classes together. There's four girls on the team in sport media.
Yeah.
Which that's our most predominant.
The little pipeline.
Yeah. I love it. So we all hang out together. Like, that's how we're here on this podcast together.
Yes.
So it's really fun. I think it's great. I love the energy that we have. Even though we didn't have a great season this year, like, I think we're all looking forward to how we can build on next year.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the most important part, is that everyone wants to do better. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
And yeah, it's not the highest level, like, softball, you could be D1 or, like, so many other things, but mm-hmm. just getting to keep playing, even in these years of our lives, is really special.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's such a privilege. This is what my mom always said, too, mm-hmm. when we were really struggling. She was like, you guys should be so grateful. Like, not many people get to play college sports, and we get to, and we have a really great athletics program at our school mm-hmm. that really cares about us, and they've been doing the best that they can for us to, like, make sure that we always have the best experience, and I think we have, like...
Yeah, and it keeps getting better.
Yeah.
Like, we moved from, like, you were saying...
competitive club, and, now we're varsity club. So, I mean, that change has all happened in the 3 years that I've been here. Like,
yeah, it was
so
my first
growth.
Year was the first year.
Yeah, so that's crazy that we've seen so much.
We're invited to the athletic banquet now.
Yes! No, we're, like, we're up there. I mean...
Yeah.
No one has to know when we're there. We're all
exactly.
We all look the same.
And
it's
we
like...
get the varsity backpack. You don't know if I'm playing on the men's hockey team or softball. You
exactly.
got no idea. So it definitely kind of boosts the spirit, you know,
mm-hmm.
Just that we're getting taken more seriously, but also, like, we're kind of saying it's a short season, it's right away, and so you kind of get all those perks, but also you can focus on your studies later in the year, which is so nice.
Yeah. I was talking to someone on the men's hockey team, and they were so jealous that our season is that short, because, like, ultimately...
That's, like, if you're playing on, one of the... four varsity sports, like, that's your whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Even soccer, like, they have basically the same season as us, but they're, like, still full-time practicing.
Yeah.
Which is
and
crazy.
It's crazy. It's a lot. And, like, for some people, they need it and they want mm-hmm. it. But for a lot of people, especially for the men's hockey team, they all played pro. Like, they played OHL.
Yeah,
they've
played
WHL.
There.
And now they're here to get their degree, but they still need to play on the team in order to get their degrees
mm-hmm.
and everything. And they're tired.
They're tired.
And they want to do school.
Relatable.
And they still have to play all the time. And it gets to a point where you need some balance. And I think
mm-hmm.
that we have the best of
really
that.
Good balance.
So I feel really grateful
mm-hmm.
for that.
And then, talking about focusing on school, get into sport media just a little bit.
Yeah.
I know that was also probably what helped with the adjustment, because it's such a tight-knit program. But
mm-hmm.
just kind of, talking about the program.
Yeah, absolutely. I love our program. And I think they do a really good job in the first semester of first year to, like, really integrate us all.
Mm-hmm.
I like that we get to take all of our courses with
media
production. I think it's really fun. I've made some really good friends in media production.
I was out at the bar last night, and we ran, it was like celebrity spotting. I was like, oh my god. And they were like, Katie! It's so good.
Right? It's so fun. And it's like, RTA is so small, especially because, like, they tell us that you're going to be working with these people. Like, these are your future colleagues and stuff. And whether or not you're in media production or sport media, you can work on a movie set or a sports product. Like, it's all
there's
the
a
same
lot of overlap.
Skills,
yeah.
Regardless. Like, if you're shooting content, it's the same, like, for whatever you're doing. So it's really nice to be able to build that friendship and those connections right away. And it's super fun. Like, we make a podcast, like, in your first...
Yeah.
That's the first project that you get to do. So, like, that's
the projects are fun.
Yeah.
It's very bare bones the first semester, but it's still, like, exciting. Like, I'm like, oh, my class is to literally go make a podcast or make this design. Like,
yeah.
It's fun.
No, it's... They do a really good job, and it's... And people are excited, and there was just events and, like... Baseball season still happening, so we were all going out to Blue Jays games, and then Raptors starts, and then hockey starts, and then we have our school events, and, like, you just get excited, and everyone wants to go to sports events because we're a sports
everyone
program.
Loves sports.
Yeah, and that's so fun, and we live in the city, we're downtown, so it's all accessible, and it's hard to complain, and it's hard to compete, and, like, I talk to my friends from other schools, and we're just having such different experiences because we're right downtown, whereas being in, like, a college town, you don't have
I don't think
that.
I could do a college town.
No, I just, like, I don't think I could live not in a city anymore now that I have so much convenience. Like, I'm a little lazy. Like, I want to, like, walk the 15 minutes and then just, like, be at Rogers Center. Like,
exactly. Well, and also, too, like... It's the one thing that I would like being in a college town is they go to their sports games more because those are the only sports games. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you look at, like, games at the MAC, which is one of the best facilities ever, and it's literally sport media kids fill the stands or work on production.
Yeah.
Like, there's not many fans outside of people in residence and sport media fans.
Yeah.
Or students. So that would be the only thing that I, like, wish we had is better attendance because our teams are good.
And
the facilities are nice, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine.
No, that is, we, like, talk about that all the time in, like, our marketing classes. It's
oh,
like,
I have a project due on Monday about it, actually.
Yes. I have one due the week after, It's like, how can we get people in
the
stands? Yeah.
Because it's such a commuter school, so it's really hard, but whatever, it's fine.
It is what it is, to be fair, like, I watched the other, like, the OUA streams of other schools, and no one else is there either, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless, like, it's UNB.
Yeah.
Because what else do you do in New Brunswick? Yeah. And then, like we were saying, there's a lot of, like, networking involved, even, like, I was talking about last year on a different this podcast, but a different series.
Yeah.
About how, like, how networking even within years and talking to fourth years and getting that experience from them and just, like, they're just so good for getting advice out of, especially. Mm-hmm. And I know you've experienced that as well, and now you're the one giving advice.
Yeah, no, it's been amazing. I think my biggest thing was that in my first semester or first year, I put myself out there and I went on to volunteer to be on a Bold broadcast and I put myself to be a sideline reporter, which now I would never do that. I was like,
never have, never will.
Yeah. I thought that I was going to be the next on-air personality.
Which, to be fair, everyone in this program thinks when they get here, but...
No, I was, when I was leaving and I was leaving my small town of BC, everyone's like, I'm going to see you on TV.
That's
and
what,
I, like,
I tell people I'm in sport media, they're like, I'll see you on TV. I'm like, no, you will not.
Yeah.
I will be the one holding the camera, but you won't see me.
Uh-huh. Everyone, that's all you think of.
One of my teachers in high school was like, you have a face for broadcasting. I was like,
dad told me I have a face for radio, so at least that's nice. My dad always says that. He's like, oh, you should stick to what you're good at.
Well, that's why you're on this podcast.
Yes. Yeah, there we go. I was like, oh, thank God it's not a video podcast today. Like, stumbled out of bed for
not tonight. Or today.
So I put myself in the Bold broadcast. I did the sideline reporting. And, like, even though that's, like, a uncomfortable position and nothing I would do now.
No. It's a good experience.
Yeah, it's great. And, like, I just got to, like, sit there and talk to all these fourth years who were the paid people that were running the production, and I just got to, like, sit down and talk to them about what they do and just become friends with them. I'm still connected with them. I'm still friends with them now, and it's great. I went out to the bars with them. They got me.
Whoa.
I know. They was like, oh my gosh, I'm so cool. I'm with them. And that was a really great opportunity for me to make the friends, and they made it such a good, positive experience for me. And now, 2 years later, I am that broadcast lead, and I'm the one connecting with the first years. Not out the bars, but I'm connecting with them in the studio.
In the studio.
And it's really great, and it's, like, such a full circle moment, and I love being able to give back in the same way that I had that opportunity for me. So I'm hoping that I'm doing justice to those, like,
that. I think so. I've only worked on one broadcast so far, but I think so. Oh, that was my first broadcast,
and it was good. Yeah. It's such a good time. I mean, like, you get free food, and you get to watch sports, and...
I was telling my mom about the thing you said. You're like, yeah, no, sometimes if I just need a free meal, I'll sign up for a bold broadcast. Like, you know what? That could be the move.
Mm-hmm. In first year, I was really poor at one point, and I was signing up for so many of them because I knew that I would get moot, and then I would take the pizzas because they would give them to me at the end of the night.
Oh, yeah. If there's any leftover.
Because they were like, oh, Emily's here again, and they would just give me the rest of it.
And they knew you as the person that gave the pizzas to. Were you in residence first year?
Yeah, but I was on the declining meal balance, so I was cooking my own food.
Yeah.
And I was at a poor moment.
Oh, I was on the 7-day.
Yeah, that is
lovely.
That's good.
It's because I was in a single, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
Lonely. No, I'm kidding. And then, we'll get into, like, through all that networking and knowing people, you've got a few jobs in the industry at a very young age, if you just want to plug those.
I've been so lucky with that, I think, and that's something that has only come really from being in Toronto. One, location is huge, I think, and that's, like, a big reason why I moved to the city is, like, I know that this is the economic capital, really, in Canada. And so I was like, Mom, Dad, this is why I'm moving to Toronto, is because I want to work in sports. And because of that, I've gotten to work at Sportsnet, because the Sportsnet hub is 15 minutes from where I live. And I've worked on the NHL as an ad operator. And it's a very easy job, but it pays well. I throw up ads for commercials. I get to work in master control. I work with lots of broadcast technicians and people. I run into Elliot Friedman all the time, and I can go down to the studio whenever I want, really. Yeah. And then from that job, it got me connected to working on the Olympics this summer, which also is like 30 minutes away from my apartment because it's also right in Toronto.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. And I got to be a production assistant for that. And I met so many people through that opportunity. And I just had lunch with the font coordinator. Yeah, and I brought him around, font coordinator for the Olympics, and he also works on the NHL too. And so that was amazing. So then from there, they asked me to come back work on their weekend sports show. So now I'm still working with CBC. I'm still involved. I'll be coming back to work on the 2026 Olympics. They've already asked me to do that, which I'm super excited about. Yes. No, literally, like, it's so good. I'll be sending out that email. I'll be, like, forwarding it to everyone.
Oh,
and so it's so fun. It was such an amazing experience to, like, be in that culture. And then I'm also a broadcast lead. So I feel like...
Busy gal.
It definitely is busy, but...
It's a good busy.
It's so good. And when I go and I get to tell my parents and my friends, like, this, it's all paid off. It's all worth it.
And those LinkedIn posts are looking fire.
Yes, yeah.
I love it. I, like, did not have LinkedIn before I came here. And now it's such a big part of this industry, especially because it's all about networking connections. And it's just like, oh, something happened? Put it on the LinkedIn.
Yeah.
We were about to do our live show in our 6-hour TV lab where we produce live productions. And before it, I was directing and everyone's on comms. And I'm like, hey, guys, if this goes well, I'm posting it on my LinkedIn. And I just kind of got everyone to laugh for a second. Then we killed the show.
Yes.
I didn't post on LinkedIn, though. Okay. But... That's the vibe we're going for, is make it good so it can go on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. And, like, people will like it. Dan Berlin, he will definitely
get Dan Berlin will be there. Yeah. I got a Joe Recupero like the other day.
Oh,
that's crazy. Joe? That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good connection.
He is a good connection. That man does.
Everyone, all the professionals in sport media, like all the profs, technical support, like everyone, everyone's done stuff that's great and they're good to know.
Yeah, it's such a good program. Like, I feel so grateful all the time being here. Like, we're literally in, like, the building that we're in right now.
Such a nice facility.
Multi-million-dollar radio institute that's, like, professional
level. Everything's so professional level, and they're setting you up for success. Yeah. And that's why it's such a well-known program. If people see that you went to TMU Sport Media, you're more likely to get the job, at least if it's in Toronto, because everyone knows everyone, and they can quickly shoot Ryan Sykes a text and be like, hey, is this person good? And he'll say yes. Hopefully.
The entirety of people at CBC were RTA grads. Yeah. Every single person that I talked to was an RTA. And then all of the freelancers that they hired, like me, and there were 70 freelancers, every single one was TMU. So that's insane. Like, that's an entire network. Mm-hmm. Like, the CBC is, like, the Canadian Broadcasting, and it was all TMU, RTA-specific grads. And that was executive producer, directors, producers, everyone, like, so we have really built a reputation here, and we are the next generation coming up through it. But that piece of paper is so valuable that we're getting.
Yeah.
So the RTA stamp of approval.
Yes. And maybe that's what makes it such a great vibe at CBC. I know you were saying that you just had so much fun working there. And, like, yeah. Obviously, like, if you're working on the Olympics, it's going to be fun. But the environment you were saying was just incredible.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, like, when you're picking your place that you're going to work and you have to spend... Where people work is where they spend the majority of their time, probably even more than when they where they spend at home.
Mm-hmm. If you're working in sports, for sure.
Oh, definitely.
You're but, sleeping there.
Yeah. The people were working, like, 18-hour days. It was crazy. I think they did sleep. But the vibe of CBC, one, there's tons of natural light in that building, which is super important. It made it very, it's a lot brighter, so people are already a little bit more upbeat. But people just genuinely love their jobs. We were talking about this earlier, that you can't get into media by accident, really. You have to make a lot of purposeful decisions in order to get to those positions. So that really means that everyone there loves what they do. And they've chosen to be there, which makes such a huge difference when you're working in that kind of environment, because everyone wants to be there. They want to do the best that they can do. And that just makes going to work so fun, because you also want to be there. Like, you've chosen to be there too. Everyone else has chosen to be there. They want to do the best that they can do. And you get to produce live television, live sports television all the time. And it's an awesome environment to be in. People were having so much fun. It's a young work environment too. Like, there's the whole eighth floor is the sports floor, and it was just like young content creators who That's were so like fun. Vibing. It was so good. They have like this whole wall of Olympians who have come in and they sign it and stuff, and so that was really cool to see. And it's just, it's great. The Sportsnet building is great as well, but it's a lot darker. People work a lot of overnight shifts there because they have to control broadcast feeds overnight, so it's a little different vibe there. And if I were to pick somewhere to work long term, I would definitely look towards somewhere like CBC. I really liked working there. It's a government job too, which is also like the pay was two thumbs up. So it was really great. I loved it.
And then just to kind of wrap things up, obviously you've got all these opportunities through, honestly, your great networking skills. Like, even I ran into you when you were with the guy, the font coordinator from CBC, and you're just so good at introducing yourself and, like, just making it known, like, who you are, who they are. And just, do you have any advice for maybe listeners who are looking to go into this industry?
I think listening is a really big part, and really listening to what people have to say. And not thinking so much about what you would say to them afterwards, you know, like those like really key listening skills, and just absorbing all that information, filtering out what is most important to you, and then going up and introducing yourself afterwards, because people will remember that.
That's the scariest part, but just do it.
Oh, no, definitely. Because especially when they're presenting to lots of people or they talk to lots of people all the time, if you make sure that you go up afterwards and introduce yourself, and then continue to, like, say hi to them in the hallways or things like that. That's how I got to know Carl, is that I would always make sure that I would say hi to him afterwards, and then from there we developed a friendship, and now he's a great connection of mine to know forward, or moving forward. Yeah. But people just want genuine connection. It's really hard now because there's a lot less of it, and it's very easy to close ourselves off, but I think, especially with remote work and everything, but I think that creating that opportunity and just going up and being brave.
And like, even within our school, I did that, like we were saying, Joe Cooper. Like, I'd seen him on Zoom meetings, but I'd never seen him in person, so I was like, hey, just wanted to put a face to a name. And that's a good, like, if you connect with someone on LinkedIn and then see them, just be like, hey, like, we connected just to, like, put a face to a name, because so much of it is online and Zoom meetings and connecting through LinkedIn, like, not a lot of it's in person. So just kind of making that step is a good good one to take.
If you want it, there is an endless amount of opportunity, I think, especially in this city. So truly, it's just about what you want and how much you're willing to put into it.
Well, it's been so great having you on to chat today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Katie. This was so fun.
It was fun. Barring technical difficulties, it was really fun. Well, this has been Shutter Sport Girl Talk with Katie LeBoudelaire featuring Emily Bancroft. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next one.